Okay, I'm in now. Nice one participant. John Mosen just came on. You just got on? How about you? Make host, okay.
Hello, Rav.
Hello, Rav.
Everybody,
good day.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Rav.
Hi, Rav.
What can I see? Hi, Josh.
Yeah, hello, Rav.
Hi, Rav.
How are you?
Okay. Good, good, good. Hi, everyone. Oh, we're getting a real national representation here all over the world. Excellent. Very nice. Yofi. Okay. I will start very soon. As soon as we get hi, Rabbi Berman.
Hi, I'm trying to get off.
Yeah, you can get off if you want. You made me host.
Yeah, your host.
Okay, excellent. Okay, I'm the host right now for everyone. Nice to have you in my house here.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Okay. So, Erev Tov to everyone. Where's John Moskinson? Isn't he here? Oh, there he is. Hi, John. Te'avon. Are you in Chamek? Okay. So, Ezra, nice beard, Ezra. Look like Herzl there a little bit.
That's what happens when there aren't any barbers or hairdressers that you can go to.
Ah, yeah. That I think Corona hasn't been going on for 3 years, Ezra.
I'm just getting ready for the Omer.
Hi, Andrew.
Sorry.
Dr. Miller.
Hi, Dr. Bori.
Hi, how are you doing? And Ben Groth. Hi. Shimon. Oh, wow. Look at it. Wow, people from the past here.
Wait, I have a visitor. How do I do this?
Yeah, you're doing well. I can see you. Ben, I like your new earphones there. Very cool. Oh my gosh, Andrew, that's Andrew Jr. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, you know, the Gemara said that one of the Tanoim used to bring his baby to Bet Midrash to hear Torah when he was a baby. And that
well, that's what he's doing. He might be sleeping, but he's listening.
Excellent. Okay. So, lovely to see everyone. And
we can do a shidduch. Yeah.
We can start the shir.
Nice. Looks good.
I was asked to give the shir tonight from Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu BaPesach Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato VeElu Hem Pesach Matza Umaro. Rabban Gamliel is teaching us that there are three important phrases that one must mention throughout the Seder. And, you know, I'll start from the most practical halacha that is behind this saying, which is if a person finds himself in a situation where he's in a rush, where, let's say, a doctor in the hospital, let's say a soldier in the army, and he has to make a very quick Seder, and he doesn't have time to sit like everyone else does. So Rabban Gamliel is teaching us that the minimum requirement that one must say in the Pesach night is these three phrases, Pesach, Matzah, Umaro. If you don't mention these phrases, you are not fulfilling the mitzvah of what? Oh, that's my question. What did Rabbi Gil tell us? Kol shelo amar shosha dvarim bePesach lo yatza yedei chova. He did not fulfill his mitzvah. Which mitzvah are we talking about? There are two possibilities here. The most simple possibility is that he's referring to the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. And what is he telling us? He's telling us that the mitzvah of Sipur has rules. I mentioned once before, in several shiurim that I mentioned before, I've been giving this week, I mentioned the mitzvah that we have every day of the year of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. In our Haggadah, we mention that every day there is a mitzvah in the morning and the evening to mention, to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. That is the mitzvah of Zichirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. We read this in the Haggadah. Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria, Hare ani keven shivim shana. Velo zachiti sheteamer yitziat mitzrayim balilot ad shedrasha ben zoma, sheneemar leman tizkor et yom tzedcha me'eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha yamim kol yimei chayecha alilot. In the Haggadah and the Mishnah we read that there is a chiyuv every day of the year. In the morning in Shacharit in the Shema, in the evening in Arvit of the Shema, we remember yitziat mitzrayim. However, at the night of Pesach, we have an additional mitzvah to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. What is the difference between both mitzvot? Rabban Gamliel is suggesting another difference. Zikaron, remembering, has no quantity to it. Once you remember, you fulfill the mitzvah. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur, there are rules. There are details. How to tell a story. How long must a story be? Chazal tell us, on one hand, kol hamarbe lesaper b'yitziat mitzrayim harei ze meshubach. The more the merrier. The more you tell the story, the more you are fulfilling the mitzvah, which is, of course, a rule that would not be true regarding the mitzvah of remembering. The mitzvah of remembering is remembering. I remember it. You finish. The mitzvah is over. There's no point of remembering more. But when it comes to Sipur, there is a point to remember more. So on one hand, we have the idea of going into detail and mentioning the story and telling a long story. However, Rabban Gamliel is telling us there's also a minimum requirement for Sipur. What is the minimum requirement? Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. You can go on for hours, but if you can't, at least these three phrases should be mentioned, because without them, you are not fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. The other option is that Rabban Gamliel is teaching us that you do not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah, of eating the Pesach, and eating the Maror without it following with explanation. Just eating the matzah without saying, I'm eating the matzah for this and this purpose, eating the Pesach, which we don't have right now, or eating the Maror without the explanation is a flaw in the mitzvah of eating the matzah. And why is that? Perhaps Rabban Gamliel is teaching us that the mitzvah of achilat matzah and achilat psachim and achilat Maror are mitzvot that have to be connected to the ideas behind them. If a person is going to eat these foods without realizing what he's doing, perhaps he is not fulfilling the mitzvah the correct way. The reasons of the mitzvot in this case are essential for the mitzvah itself. What is special about Pesach, Matzah, Maror? Why dafka those three phrases are so important? Well, my uncle, Professor Yosef Tabori, who wrote his doctorate on the Haggadah, has a whole chapter in which he explains the development of the Manishtana. As you might know, the Manishtana that we have today is very different from the original Manishtana that we had in the Mishnah. Some questions changed, some were added, some were taken out, but originally in the times of Beit HaMikdash, there was a question, Manishtana halayla azeh mikol elot. Shebechol alot anu ochlim tzli omushal halayla kulot tzli. In the time of Beit HaMikdash, they were astonished. What's so special about the night of Pesach that we have to eat only tzli, only barbecued food? The answer is that on Pesach night, we have to eat it roasted, barbecued, unlike any other night. However, that question was taken out of the Haggadah because we don't have Korban Pesach anymore. But originally, The questions that we asked of the Manishtana were about the matzah, the maror, and the Pesach. So if that's really true, Rabban Gamliel is teaching us here the real answers for the Manishtana questions. Have you ever asked yourself, right, after we ask Manishtana, what's our answer? Avadima yinua. That's an answer. That's not an answer. That perhaps is some kind of a beginning of an answer. But Rabban Gamliel is summing up the three answers to the three original questions of the Manishtana are Pesach, Matzah, Maror, and now we're going to explain them. What's Matzah, and what's Maror, and what's Pesach? I want to focus a little bit on the Matzah. It's an idea that I've said many times, and I'm sure that some of you have heard this idea in the past. And for me, I may have even said it this week to some of you. But I think it's such an important idea, such a fundamental idea of understanding the whole evening of Pesach and the whole idea of Pesach, which I think should repeat it again and again. The Haggadah asks, Matzah zu ochlim al shum ma. The Haggadah asks, why do we eat matzah the night of Pesach? Now the truth is, because the answer is given in this Haggadah, the way it is, it has become part of Jewish tradition to actually believe that this is the sole reason for eating matzah. Not only is it in the Haggadah, it's based on a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Vayofu et abatzek asher utziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot, ki lo chametz, ki gorshu mimitzrayim velo yachlu litma'amea." They didn't have time, they were in a rush, and therefore they made matzah. If we were to ask children in the street, what does that mean? Ask kids that grow up with the Pesach story. Most kids, and adults, by the way, will tell you, oh, the Jews were baking their bread, and suddenly they had to leave into the desert, so the bread flopped, it became like a pita, and that's a tragedy that we had to eat this matzah because they weren't prepared well. Their bread turned into matzah, which of course it cannot be really true for many reasons, for two main reasons. One reason is because matzah, as we know, doesn't have yeast and bread does, and our matzahs do not have yeast in them. And B, the Israelites were commanded to eat matzah way before the night of Pesach. They were actually told days before to prepare matzah. And now the pasuk makes a totally different meaning. They didn't have time to make bread, so they made matzah. They were leaving Egypt. Perhaps what the pasuk is suggesting, that part of what the reason of making matzah is because they're about to go into the desert. And what is the best type of food to take with you into a desert? Fresh baked matzah, which remain fresh for another 40 years. Right? Matzah is the ultimate type of food that you can keep forever. Right? Is there really a difference sometimes between a matzah, which is a day old and 5 weeks old? Pretty much tastes the same. Okay? So matzah makes a lot of sense that they made it. They were commanded days before, you're about to go to the desert, bake matzah. However, the pasuk doesn't exactly say that. The pasuk does mention the idea of v'lo yochlu lihit mahameya. What does lihit mahameya mean? Translation of lihit mahameya is they couldn't wait. Now, if you remember, this pasuk is mentioned in Chumash, in Sefer Bereishit, that there was someone who was mitmahameya. Who was that person who was mitmahameya? There's a Baal Kori here. Vaitmama. Three times. Nu?
Was it Lot?
Lot, correct. Lot, when he was told to leave Sdom, he was told, good answer, he was told, to leave Sdom, God is about to destroy the city. he was supposed to run away, and he couldn't in the beginning, and the malachim, the angels, had to pull him out. Why is that important? Because a few pesukim before that, we read that when the malachim came to Lot to tell him about Sodom being destroyed, what did Lot serve the malachim? He served them matzah. Why did Lot serve them matzah? Says Rashi, very simple. Because it's Pesach. Really, makes a lot of sense, right? That 1,000 years before Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Lot in the Dead Sea is celebrating Pesach. Very strange, Rashi. So it's a Midrash. Rashi is quoting the Midrash. What's the meaning of this Midrash? The answer is that the Midrash is trying to tell us that there's that the story of Lot fleeing Sodom is a similar story to Am Yisrael fleeing Mitzrayim. By the way, if you really want to go into deep into this, you can you'll remember that Lot, when he came from Mitzrayim with Avram, that is when Avram told Lot to separate, and they stood at the entrance of the Jordan Valley, and Avram said, "Lot, decide where you want to live." And it says in Sefer Bereishit that Lot looked at the Jordan Valley, and what did he see in front of him? A beautiful valley, and it reminded him of what? Of Egypt, because we are in the desert. The Jordan Valley is a desert. Believe me, it's a desert. I did enough army service to tell you that it's a desert, very hot. But the Jordan River, similar to the Nile, it changes everything, right? Around the river bend, there's things that are growing, just like in Egypt. So it says that Lot, when he saw the Jordan Valley, he was excited. It reminded him of Mitzrayim. So he said, "I'm going to settle there." But we all know that in Mitzrayim, there's no Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Egyptians the Nile and told them, "Here's your Nile." Right? The Torah says again and again, Eretz Yisrael is not like Egypt. In Eretz Yisrael, we live by the rain because we have a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Egypt, the Egyptians have the Nile, no Kadosh Baruch Hu. When Lot comes to Eretz Yisrael, when he decides to live there in Sodom, he's basically deciding to live as if in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to have any connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Basically, Mitzrayim and Sodom are the same. And therefore, Yitziat Lot of Sodom is parallel hundreds of years later to Yitziat Am Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. And in both cases, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and saves Lot and saves Am Yisrael. And in both cases, we are told we cannot wait. Lo yochlu litvahameya. Why not? Why can't we wait? Why does Yitziat Mitzrayim, why does Yitziat Lot of Sodom have to be in a hurry? Matzazu she'anu ochlim al shuma. Why is a matzah the symbol of leaving in a hurry? I said this idea many times, and I'll repeat it again. I heard this idea in the name of Rav Meidan, Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, who, by the way, today, I was very touched. I got a knock on the door. Right now, when you get a knock on the door, everyone's very scared. My gosh, who's walking outside? And I opened the door, and Rav Meidan is standing outside my door. I said, "Rav Meidan, what are you doing here?" He says, "I found some notes of your father, of your Abba, and I wanted to return them to you." So I said, "For that, you're leaving your house? It's like you can get arrested by the police. That's not one of the rules that you're allowed to walk out to give people's Torah notes." He said, "For that, I'm walking out." So that was it today. So let's say some Torah in the name of Rav Meidan. Rav Meidan told us, when I heard this shir from him, he explained in a mashal how to understand the idea of haste, leaving in a hurry. He said there are different ways of how people can travel. Bus, train, plane, taxis. What most types of transportation have in common is that there's a set time, and that if you come late, you usually will miss the train, the bus, the plane. However, there's another type of transportation which is not based on a timetable, and that in Israel, what we call a tramp, a hitchhike. When we hitchhike, now, don't do this, by the way, don't try this by yourself, but if you were to hitchhike, something I did quite a lot when I was younger, especially in the army, when you hitchhike, the idea is that you are waiting by the side of the road, waiting for a car to show up, and you have no idea when this car is going to show up. You have no idea if it's going to take you to the place that you want to. And yet, you can find yourself waiting hours by the side, hoping that someone will show up to help you and take you where you have to go to. What happens if you wait by the side of the road? At some point, you get a bit tired, so you put your head down and go to sleep. And suddenly a car comes up and opens the window and you're half asleep. And they say, they tell you where you're going. Now, when I was a kid, by the way, and I had to get to Yerushalayim and a car stopped and said, Yerushalayim, we just got in. Today, when you stop in a lone shvut at the gate and you say Yerushalayim, they say, what street? What number? Like, you know, if you're not going to that house, they won't get in. There's a, you know, Alon Shavuot has two Alon Shavuots now, Aleph and Bet, the new and the old. There's a joke in Alon Shavuot that a kid's waiting in a lot for a tramp and a car stops and the kid says, La'am, and the guy goes, Alon Shavuot, and he goes, Aleph or Bet, Shal Chadash or Shal Yashan, right? People are a bit pampered today. They have to go exactly where they want to. But if a person stops the car and starts questioning and starts asking and starts saying, oh, I have to get my bag, I forgot something, can you wait for me a second? If a person behaves like that, the car is going to leave without him. So Rav Meidan explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not our train or our bus or our plane. We don't have a timetable for the Geula. We don't know when Mashiach is coming. We don't know when redemption is coming. But we do know one thing. You have to wait on the side of the road at any given time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show up and to redeem. And when that time comes, if you are not waiting by the side of the road ready to jump up and to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the redemption, you may find yourself standing on the side of the road for centuries on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael Yitziat Mitzrayim, the time has come for redemption, but it's on my schedule. It's when I say the time has come. If you recall, the night of Pesach, we were commanded to sit at the table with our staffs, our walking sticks in our hands. It's very, very inconvenient to eat a meal with a walking stick in your hand. We were told to eat the meal with our boots on. Why? Why? We waited hundreds of years to leave Egypt. Do we really have to eat the Korban Pesach in a rush? Do we have to have our walking sticks in our hands? The answer is yes. The answer is, if not now, it may be never. There probably were people that were sitting at the Yitzat Mitzrayim, grumbling and saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be redeemed, but it's really not convenient. It's the middle of the year. The kids haven't finished the school year yet. I still have a few more days to finish my job. I didn't pack up all my belongings. I want to be redeemed. I want to leave Egypt. But if it's possible, how about September, Kadosh Baruch Hu? In a similar way, in the times of Bayit Sheni, the Kuzari complains that Am Yisrael did not hear the voice of Koresh, King Cyrus, calling for redemption. People want to be redeemed, but when the redemption actually came, they turned their backs because it wasn't convenient. We want to be redeemed, but not now. How about in a few hours, in a few days, in a few weeks? The message of the matzah being the symbol of a food which is baked very, very quickly is done in haste. Even today when we bake matzah, if you ever bake matzah, you know that the mitzvah has to go crazy. You run around and you yell and you scream. That's part of the experience of making matzah. Why? Because the essence of the matzah is hurry, quick. Because that is the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. To teach us that not only in the Yitziat Mitzrayim time, but also in the future, the redemption is in the hands of Ribono Shel Olam. He and only he decides where and when we will be redeemed. When it will be convenient on his terms and not on our terms. And that's why this matzah is the symbol of redemption, because it's a symbol of haste. I want to point out that the Rambam's Nusach of his Haggadah a little bit different than ours. If you look in Hilchot Chametz Matzah at the end, you will see the Nusach of the Rambam's Haggadah. While our Haggadah begins with Ha lachma aniya diachalna avatana be'ara de Mitzrayim, our Haggadah points out that the bread that's lying in front of us is lechem oni, is a poor man's bread. The Rambam starts the Haggadah by saying, Bevihilu yatsanu mimitzrayim. We left Egypt in a haste, quickly. As if to suggest that this matzah has two different sides to it. On one hand, it is the matzah which symbolizes a poor man's bread, right? Because poor men eat matzah. There's no yeast in it. Doesn't rise. Poor men eat crackers or matzah. However, there is another side to this poor piece of bread. It is the bread which symbolizes the redemption of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this matzah, which sits on our table throughout the whole Seder, tells us the entire story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It tells us that in the beginning, this matzah symbolized lechem oni, a poor man's bread, because in the beginning, we were poor, we were slaves. However, as the evening continues, this matzah becomes a symbol of freedom, of redemption, of Bivihilu Yatsanu Mimitzrayim. So look, that's just a thought on the symbol of the matzah being the bread of haste, and why the pasuk, therefore, that we say in the Haggadah, Vayofuta Batzek, I believe that that may be a suggested pshat, why they could not wait any longer. And that is the matzah that we eat today. I can see that the time is passing by, and I have to finish very soon. I want to add two more ideas, short ideas, to our shir today. Bechol do vado, as soon as we finish talking about the Pesach and Matzah and Maror, the Haggadah tells us, Bechol do vado chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. This rule, this phrase that we mentioned in the Haggadah, which is a well-known phrase, according to the Rambam, it's not only to see, but to show, leharot et atzmo, is a very important phrase that defines the mitzvah of Magid. We mentioned before that the mitzvah of Magid is different than the mitzvah of Zechira. Zechira, you just have to remember. But Sipur, you have to relive. You have to act it out. It's like a play. You dress up. You eat the matzah, the maror. You pick it up. You show people. You use props. You act out the whole sipur. Like some kind of show and tell. My wife is in the back here, helping me out. Bechol do vado chayav adam lirot et atzmo. With Zechira, there's no idea of telling us that you must see yourself as if you're leaving Egypt. In Zechira, you may be attached from the actual event. However, the mitzvah of Sipur entails a certain emotional experience that one goes through the night of Pesach. If one doesn't actually position himself in Mitzrayim, in the process of the redemption, then something is lacking in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. And the next sentence is a continuation of what we just said now. Lefichach anachnu chayavim lodot. Rabbi Soloveitchik understood that the lefichach that we just were about to go into Hallel, Rabbi Soloveitchik understood that that lefichach is part of the mitzvah of Magid. The mitzvah of Magid is not just about telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, but it also includes the obligation of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for leaving Egypt. And therefore, the chovah of Hallel, the mitzvah of Hallel that we do the night of the Seder, is a result of the mitzvah of Magid and also part of it. I'll just finish with one last idea. At the end of this piece of Magid, Magid ends here with Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Ge'alanu V'Ge'alat Avoteinu, and we end Baruch Ata Hashem Ge'al Yisrael. This bracha that ends the mitzvah of Magid, which I just proved to you also includes in it the Hallel, is a bracha that some think is the bracha on the mitzvah of Magid. And I'll explain. We have famous discussions in the post scheme. What mitzvah gets a bracha and what doesn't? As you know, not all the mitzvot get a bracha. The Rishonim, like the Rashba, and the Rashba, besides the Rashba, I'm just thinking who else famously has a whole discussion. I forgot right now. What are the other Rishonim? In the Rashba, the Tshuvas, he gives us a whole long list of mitzvot that get brachot. Not every mitzvah gets a bracha. And whichever mitzvah doesn't get a bracha, we have to try to understand why not. Like mitzvah ben al-chavero don't get brachas usually. Like tzedakah, killing a malek doesn't get a bracha. Certain mitzvahs don't get brachas. Why? That's a discussion for another time. The question about Magid is very simple. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is a mitzvah d'oraita. Why is there no bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Hishavnu Tzota V'Tzivanu, L'Saper B'Tziat Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah. Just like on Matzah, make a bracha. Why is there no mitzvah on Sipur? Some suggest that the bracha that we just mentioned now is the bracha of Magid. But if that is true, then we have a new question. What's the new question? We have a rule in the Gemara in Pesachim Dav Zayin that says all mitzvot that require a bracha, the bracha must be said over la'asiyatan. They must be said before we make the mitzvah, like before we put on tefillin, before we shake a lula, before we sit in the sukkah. We're supposed to make the bracha over la'asiyatan, except very few exceptions. The Gemara suggests one or two exceptions and concludes that one of the only exceptions is mikvah. When someone goes to a mikvah, they cannot make the bracha before. I'm talking, of course, about someone who would be going to a mikvah because there's a mitzvah to go to a mikvah, like a woman who's a nida, or a convert who's converting to Judaism and must make a bracha before they convert, before they go into the mikvah. Why is that an exception? The answer is very simple, because when someone's impure, or in the case of a non-Jew who wishes to convert, he's not even Jewish. Therefore, in both cases, the bracha must be said after the mikvah. So that's one exception that we have. There may be one or two other exceptions. I challenge you to think of those exceptions. I can think of two or three in my mind right now, but they're really very rare exceptions. So why is it, if it's true that the bracha of Magid is this bracha, so why is bracha said after Magid and not before? So I think in the name of, I think one of the Hasidic Rebbes once said a beautiful idea. And I really, really want to share this idea with you, and I hope that you pay it forward and you mention this idea the night of your Seder, because I think it really highlights something very unique about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We said before that Sipur is not just telling the story. Sipur is about living the events that took place in Egypt. Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo. You must position yourself. You must see yourself as if tonight, the night of Pesach, you are actually standing in Egypt, which means that at this moment in the Haggadah, you haven't left Egypt. You're just like a non-Jew who is about to enter the mikveh and convert. You can't say a bracha now. Why? Because you weren't redeemed yet. Because if it means chayav adam lirot, if you must really position yourself as if you are now going through Yitziat Mitzrayim, so at this moment of the Haggadah, you are still in Egypt. You haven't been redeemed yet. And therefore, if you would say the bracha before Magid, it's almost a bracha levatala. You haven't been redeemed. However, at this point, after you told this story and you have gone through the journey and you have emotionally left Egypt, just like a ger, after the mikvah, he can say the bracha, so can we at that point say the bracha on the mitzvah of Magid, because now we realize that we actually left Egypt. Now, I'm not sure if this vart is emet. I don't think it is between you and me. But at least the idea emphasizes this motion of dramatizing and emotionally going through the Yitziat Mitzrayim to the extent that a person must actually feel that they are going through Yitziat Mitzrayim. And therefore, I think this idea, true or not, I don't know, but at least it really helps us understand the demands that we are, the demand of the mitzvah of Sipur, the requirement of the Sipur Mitzrayim, of to go through the process and not just to talk about it. So I shared tonight some ideas with you about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the uniqueness of this mitzvah and what it entails. I want to use the opportunity to wish a Chag Sameach to everyone. I know that we're living in challenging times right now, but I think that we have to be very, very thankful to the times that we're living in, because with all the hardships that we're going through and all the difficulties that we're going through, we've never had it so good. We've never lived through such hardships in our history. With the Zoom and technology and being able to communicate and to Baruch Hashem, even the healthcare that we have today and the hospitals that are taking care and the fact that no one's starving and we have food, Baruch Hashem, in our communities. I think that it's very, very important with Chag Pesach to point out the positive, to point out the good, to point out how we are blessed that with even though we are living in such challenges, we are still, Baruch Hashem, able to continue our lives, learning Torah, we can daven, we are able to keep our families hopefully safe as much as we can. Something that was impossible in the years before at times of great challenge. So let's say, Modeh LaTova, Lefikach Anu Chayvim Lehodot U'Lehalel U'Shabeach, at the same time, we must ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on his people and on the entire world. But I want to just point out that, you know, Hallel is not a prayer of complete praise. In Hallel, we have very strong prayers of Ana Hashem Yeshiana, or Mina Meitzar Karatia. The idea is very simple. The idea is that even when we pray the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we still have tzaras. It's from within the tzaras that we find room to pray the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Only in the future, in the Ge'ulah Atidah, will we hopefully be able to only focus on the praise and on the good. But in normal times, there is no such times that everything is perfect. The idea of Hallel is that within the praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu, within the perspective that we have of how good it is and how much we owe Kadosh Baruch Hu thanks, we still remember Ana Hashem Oshiana, Mina Meitzar Karatia. It's okay that is part of the Hallel. So I wish all of you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Be safe, be healthy, make sure that you protect yourself and your families. And Be'ezrat Hashem, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim, Habnuya.
Amen.
Bye, everyone.
Amen.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thanks.
Rabbi?
Simon, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. I'm currently in Bidud.
You're in Bidud? Why are you in Bidud? What have you done? You've been a bad boy?
No, I'm a Rokech Achrayi in Maccabi Farm in Kiryat Sefer.
Oh! Okay, yeah. All you have to say is Kiryat Sefer.
And yeah, I just got told today that I have to add another 2 days on.
2 days.
So I go back to work on day before Erev Chag.
Wow. Simon, now that I know that you're a Rokeach in Maccabi, I'm going to use you. I'm in Maccabi.
Yeah, sure.
I'm okay, but my daughter is in the army and she came home and she had a prescription from her army doctor, but it was hard to honor it because, but they were good. They took it anyway. Because of the situation. But, how's your wife?
She's good.
Good, excellent.
She's doing her Tor Sheni in psychology. And yeah, we look after, we have a 2-year-old. He's having a hard time not going outside.
I'm sure.
So he stares out the window and points at
But you know what, please God, he won't remember it.
He's having a lot of fun. He gets to be with Daddy all day.
Good to see you. Be safe. Be healthy.
Amen.
Have a Chag Simech. Wonderful to see you.
Amen. Likewise. Bye.